Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two, right here on the early line. Mark Zeno, Donnie Wrightside here on a Friday morning. Time to talk a little NBA Summer League action. And I guess the panic button, Mark, was, you know, thrown up into the sky, the bat signal. Oh, no, Chet Holmgren had a really good first game. Hopefully, Paolo Banchero can tie his shoes and play as well. Well, look, Banchero goes out there, number one overall pick, dropped 17 points, calming the nerves. Should we be so excited here? Because what happens if Banchero would have went out here, Mark, scored 5 points? Would the sky have been falling in Orlando like, oh, no, we've really made a mistake? These guys are good basketball players. Let them figure it out. You don't watch one summer league game like, you know what? This guy can't play, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, I'd rather guys do really well and perform really well in the summer league as opposed to performing poorly. It's one of those things where when you watch games that don't matter, okay, it's easy to dismiss them as that they don't matter. And that's fair. There literally is nothing about a summer league game that's going to indicate how a player is going to perform when the NBA season starts and kicks off in November. There's no correlation. It's the same as the NFL preseason. Nothing about the preseason is correlating to regular season performance. We know this. That said, you still want your guy to perform well. I don't want to watch him brick shots left and right and struggle. I don't want to watch him, you know, lose the ball over the court and not be able to handle it. Like, there are certain things that you just want to be able to see, and shots falling is fun and it's easy, and it's easy to get behind, and you get the feeling that, okay, this will translate. Even though there's no proof that it will or it won't, one win one direction or another, I'd rather see the guy play well. So you get that from Banchero. Everybody starts to relax a little bit because Holmgren had his night, Banchero had his night. All these top picks are going to be extra scrutinized with every summer league game. It's because there's nothing else to watch when it comes to NBA right now. So we hang on to what's there.
Exactly. And how about this? The Philadelphia 76ers, 80-79 winners over the OKC Thunder. Why? Holmgren didn't play. Oh, boy, he must be the MVP of this summer league already, Mark, because when he doesn't play, that team can't function. When he plays, they win easily. Also, I know the Pistons did beat the Blazers 81-78. How about Ivy going for 20 points in that game?
Yeah, this was my pick for NBA Rookie of the Year. And it was more about a value standpoint than anything else when you looked at the other names that were out there. I think he was getting 8-1 when he was first originally posted. I haven't checked it since. But this is the guy that I've got my eye on at this point in time to win the MVP. Got to make sure he stays healthy. I'm sorry, not the MVP, the Rookie of the Year. I just think he's got a situation where, and this is so much what the Rookie of the Year is about sometimes. Yes, it's about the individual numbers, but it's also about what they can do for a team to make them better. There's a lot more of a team equation in the NBA. I mean, all their sort of postseason awards, right? Like, it was shocking this year that we watched a guy win the MVP on a team that was the 5 seed or 6 seed, was it, this year? It was a 6 seed. So you don't see that often, right? I think there's only been one other time that an NBA MVP has been on a team that was seeded that low for the postseason. So a lot of this can matter. if Jaden Ivey can elevate his team and make them in the and put them in the playoffs and give them a chance to be relevant again, and he's got some great teammates around him, right? Like, it's not just him that has to do it alone. That said, this is a spot where I think that you get good value in a kid like Ivey.
Yep, there you go. Summer League moves to Las Vegas. Certainly a destination here as we welcome in the radio audience. Hour number two of the Early Line with Mark and Donnie here in the morning, right here on Sirius XM channel 159 on the grid. Let's transition, Mark, over to some Wimbledon here, something we're not used to seeing here. Novak Djokovic is going to take on Cameron Norrie today as a minus 1,500 favorite to get into the Wimbledon final. Let's take a look at the other side. Hey, look, Nadal and Kyrgios. No, it's not. Rafael Nadal pulls out Kyrgios into the final to take off Novak Djokovic. Now, if we look at the futures market here, Mark, Djokovic minus 380. We take a look at Kyrgios at a plus 300. Just from a betting standpoint, we can equate this to all sports leagues, right? Hey, rested and ready. Bye week in the NFL. That means a lot. NBA team playing back-to-back here against a rested opponent. There's certainly an advantage. Even with taking out the tennis, you know, acumen, saying, all right, this guy does this well, this guy does this well. What about the matchup? Tell me your thoughts here on just the process of one guy doesn't have to play and can get rested and ready for the final, and if that could be an advantage in the Wimbledon final here.
I mean, it could be, but the guy you're going against, it doesn't matter. Djokovic is a machine. Like, he is insanely so much better than 95% of his opponents. I don't know that rest necessarily matters. Now, with Kyrgios, you could look at the games spread here and hope that he can keep this thing close and competitive. That may be the market to look at, not necessarily to win the match outright, but if he can keep it closer and sort of frustrate Djokovic and, you know, get sets to be 6-4 kind of deal and lose him by that margin as opposed to 6-1 or 6-2, the spread on the actual games may be the way to go in this match. And you hope that Kyrgios being rested can push Djokovic a little bit harder.
Yeah, and also, you want to talk about being a fiery competitor there heading into the final. That's certainly Nick Kyrgios. Yeah. So should keep things on our toes. Because even though you didn't get that world-class matchup that we thought we were going to get here with Nadal Djokovic, that could be a certainly good one. Women's side here, that final is set here, Mark. Rybakina versus Jabeur. Plus 128 for Rybakina versus Jabeur, a minus 154. So we're in place. Wimbledon will have a final on both sides. We'll see who those victors will be over the weekend. But a lot more we got to discuss here. And it feels like a football Friday here on the network. We're getting close to training camps. Why don't we take a quick look at the NFC? Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on the Early Line, SiriusXM channel 159. Mark Zinno, Donnie Wrightside here, bringing the heat. Yes, it is the summer. Yes, we are going to talk Major League Baseball and give you the breakdowns that you need to cash some tickets in tonight. But I got to tell you, they didn't have to force me here, Mark, to say, hey, Donnie, you need to include a segment here on the NFL, particularly the NFC. So let's go ahead, and as painful it is, let's talk some NFL action. We're going to start off with the NFC East here. Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Commanders, and the New York Giants. If we place them in order at the FanDuel Sportsbook of pricing to win the division in 2022, it's the Cowboys at a plus 120 price, the Philadelphia Eagles at a 2-1, the Commanders 5-1, and the New York Football Giants at 6-1. Now, my initial thoughts here is the Dallas Cowboys probably rightfully priced here for me, Mark, as the leader in the clubhouse at plus 120. But the Philadelphia Eagles have had a very good offseason, adding weapons, and also the Dallas Cowboys not really adding weapons, maybe subtracting, but just saying, we got Dak Prescott, we think he's the best quarterback in the division, and that should be enough. Let's talk with the two teams here listed, number one and number two, being the Cowboys and the Eagles heading into 2022. Mark, what are your initial thoughts here looking at that?
There's a reason why there hasn't been an NFC East team to repeat as NFC East champions in 17 years because of lack of consistency at the quarterback position across the board in that division. And that even goes to the Eli Manning years with the New York Giants, as we all well know, as any Giants fans out there will tell you. Eli was great in the postseason, but he was a mixed bag most years during the regular season. So it's not surprising that, you know, we see a run that long of not a back-to-back champ. So does that lead me to think that the Eagles are going to be better? My only question mark with the Philadelphia Eagles, and Eagles fans wouldn't disagree with me, is I have no idea what Nick Sirianni is yet. I have no idea what kind of coach he is. I have no idea what and I watched that team a fair amount last year and backed them a fair amount because I thought that they were talented, and Jalen Hurts was fun to back as a quarterback because he really could backdoor a lot of teams, especially when the Eagles were getting, you know, more than a touchdown. That said, I don't get a good feeling for him as a game manager. I don't get a good feeling for him as a, even though he's not calling the plays per se, like as a game, as a caller of the game and understanding situational moments and what to do. I think he gets a little bit of, I don't want to say freedom. I think he gets bailed out a little bit by Jalen Hurts just because his ability to improvise and make things happen with his legs and extend drives and plays sort of bails out maybe some bad coaching decisions. That he's not the first coach to have that, you know, luxury, and he won't be the last. But when push comes to shove in a division that's expected to be as tight and as competitive as the NFC East, it's a real wild card with Sirianni. I mean, you're an Eagles fan. You tell me, do you trust that guy?
The one thing I did like about him last year, Mark, was the ability to adapt on the fly. And what I mean by that is, you see, you know, everybody wants to pass the football in the NFL. That's how you win. You don't win with a ground and pound attack. Yes. But he saw the limitations of Jalen Hurts last year and said, you know what? I'm going to have to make a couple sacrifices here. Let's run a little bit more with Jalen Hurts. Let's put him in, you know, rolling out of the pocket where you can really use his attributes. And they won some football games and got to the playoffs. So I do think, you know, Nick Sirianni taking that next step up where his team now has expectations where there weren't a lot last year. See what you have, work it out in your first year. Now in year two, you made it to the playoffs in year one. They're expecting a lot more. Taking a look here at the Dallas Cowboys, where it is about the quarterback, Mark. We know the better quarterbacks typically win. When you start in the handicap A game, you say, all right, who's your starting quarterback? Is he bad? Is he good? Is he injured? Is he going to miss this week? And quite frankly, the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott, to me, do have the best quarterback in the division. But there wasn't a lot of that steak and sizzle here in the offseason for the Dallas Cowboys, you know, losing Amari Cooper. Look, I love CeeDee Lamb. Now he can step up. We'll see if Michael Gallup comes back from the injury. But there's not a lot of that Dallas is going to walk away with this, excuse me, with this division here. Also equating it to the two teams on the back end here in the division. The Washington Commanders, you get Carson Wentz. That's going to be a mixed bag. He beats Jacksonville in the last game of the season. He's not on the Commanders. He's still in Indianapolis. So he has some things to prove, but we've seen him very inconsistent at times. Makes the wonderful play, then makes the boneheaded play. And then there's the New York Giants. You're having a look-see this year, Mark, saying, all right, can Daniel Jones actually be the franchise guy? And quite frankly, my favorite coach on the market for the past 2 years in professional football was Brian Daboll. If there's one guy that you can trust, because Joe Judge, when he got hired for the New York Giants, I didn't think it was going to work out. I was very hard on him from his opening press conference where it felt like he was coaching peewee football or high school football as opposed to being a professional football coach. Dable's the real deal here. If you look at the Giants at 6-1, is there a chance that they can compete for a division championship here?
How about no? They just don't have the talent.
That's what I like to hear.
I'm a Giants fan. They don't have a roster that legitimately can compete, and they don't have a quarterback that legitimately compete. Brian Daboll's walking into a situation where he's running a dog race with a dog on three legs. That's just what Daniel Jones is at this point. He's not a very competent quarterback, and even at his very best, there are still limitations to what Daniel Jones can do. And whether he's the guy for the future or not, don't ask me that. I think I already know the answer. Can Daboll squeeze some more juice out of that lemon? Maybe. Can he elevate him to a different level that he is? Maybe. But I would argue that even with the elevated level that Brian Daboll could provide a lot of quarterbacks in this league, Daniel Jones doesn't have the skills to elevate to a level where he needs to be competitive to win this division. I am intrigued by the Washington Commanders. Now, I say this with the caveat that I'm a sucker for Carson Wentz's talent. I think he's incredibly talented. He's got a rocket arm. He's got every skill and attribute you want, you know, other than being a ginger, because gingers are always weird. But, you know, other than that, he's got every other talent you want in a quarterback. If you were going to write down all the attributes you want your quarterback to have, Carson Wentz checks every single one of those blocks from a talent standpoint. So I'm a little bit of a sucker for Carson Wentz. I think he's got a little bit of a raw deal throughout his career. That said, the Washington Commanders winning the NFC East has absolutely zero to do with Carson Wentz and his play inconsistency or consistency. It has everything to do with Ron Rivera fixing the Washington Commanders defense. Remember, 2 years ago, when the Commanders won the division and made the playoffs, they did so with the best pass rush in the league, with Chase Young and Montez Sweat, with a defense that allowed teams to score less than 20 points a game, and a defense that was great at stopping the run. They were not that defense last year. They got scored on early and often. They gave up 30 points a game through their first six games of the year. They never got right and were never able to get right. Chase Young ends the season on injured reserve. I mean, they have to fix that defense. If they do, Carson Wentz is more than competent enough to win the NFC East. So that's where I would put my money on the Commanders, just based off the fact that Rivera may be the coach that you trust the most in this division. Now, again, I agree with you on Brian Daboll. I think he's fantastic, but I don't know what he is as a head coach yet. I've never seen him coach a game. I've never seen him have to handle coaching duties on both sides of the ball at the same time. We've seen a lot of coaches be really good at one side of the ball and fail at the other. Hi, Rex Ryan. Hi, Dan Quinn. Hi, North Turner. Hi, Wade Phillips, right? They just stink at being head coaches because they're really only good at one side of the ball. So I don't know what Daboll is going to be as a head coach yet. But the coach you may trust the most in the NFC East should be Ron Rivera. He's got the best track record. It was Mike McCarthy 15 years ago, but I'm not looking at Mike McCarthy 15 years ago. I'm looking at Mike McCarthy now, which kind of is like not fun to look at, period.
Yeah, exactly. When you saw McCarthy got that job, I was like, wait, what? Who did they just hire? My goodness here, because he told everybody he went on a sabbatical and learned about analytics over 1 year, and Jerry Jones bought into that. And it's certainly not one of the more analytical football teams or analytical minds that you can have. But I do think it's interesting with the Washington Commanders here, because you do have a solid offensive line, a nice running game, and also some capable wide receivers that you didn't see anything from Curtis Samuel last year. Now you can pair him up with a happy Terry McLaurin, getting a big deal, getting another rookie wide receiver here, Dotson, out of Penn State. This should be an offense that should be able to move the football, and just predicated on what Carson Wentz can do in his first year, because this isn't a division that you're saying like, hey, nobody's going to catch the Cowboys or the Eagles. Either one of those teams could certainly slip up. And I love the fact that Mark and I can come on here and look objectively here. I'm an Eagles fan. He's a Giants fan. We'll have to hate on our own teams, because the running joke for me that I talked about, Kevin, Mark, is once the Eagles actually get a good quarterback, we'll see how good a football team there are. Always hits the room with a pop there with Jalen Hurts, just sort of rubbing the wrong way. But we're talking NFL here on a Friday, having a lot of fun. We'll get to some Major League Baseball, but I think we can squeeze in just a little more NFC talk. Stay with us right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're right back at it here on The Grid. This is The Early Line. Mark Zeno and Donnie Wrightside here talking a little NFL football in the summer. And this division is piquing my interest here, Mark, in the NFC Norris division, which is obviously the NFC North. The Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings, Detroit Lions, and the Chicago Bears. No surprise that we see here the Green Bay Packers as a favorite, Mark, to win this division at minus 170, the Minnesota Vikings at a plus 300 price, the Detroit Lions at a plus 850, and then those Chicago Bears at a plus 950. I like to remove the Detroit Lions, remove the Chicago Bears, and go head-to-head here, Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings, which it seems like each year this is really the matchup that we're looking forward to, but you have Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and that should be enough. 2022, Mark. Now it's Aaron Rodgers, and who is this wideout? What is he supposed to do with this? $50 million a year man. Is that good enough, Mark, in your eyes, to still carry this division?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen time and time again that it doesn't matter who Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball to. Is it easier to throw it to Devontae Adams? Yeah, of course it is. I can throw touchdowns to Devontae Adams. You can do the same. Mm-hmm. But it's not like Aaron Rodgers needs any of that. I mean, he was throwing a guy's named Jeff Janis, for crying out loud. I mean, Marquez Valdez-Scantling has more syllables than touchdowns in his career prior to getting with Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's just one of those things where it doesn't matter who the guy is. And this is no disrespect to Jordy Nelson, but take Jordy Nelson, put him on a dozen other teams in this league in his career. Do you think he has the same exact stats and has the same career? Probably not. Look what happened when he left for the Raiders. He just wasn't the same guy. Now, I know some injuries played into that, but my point simply is that you could line up Donnie Wrightside and Mark Zeno in the Packers receiving game, and we'd end up pretty okay when it's all said and done. Might have some hurt hands and fingers, but that's a different conversation. So the point being, I don't worry about who's catching the ball from Aaron Rodgers. This is the other thing about this Green Bay team. Their defense is really good. They've got a great offensive line, and they can run the ball. And so it's not, as much as we're always going to put the focus on Aaron, it's not all on Aaron. It's a pretty complete team when push comes to shove. Look, you can say what you want about Matt LaFleur. You can say what you want about a whole lot of other things. But you don't win 13 consecutive, you don't win 13 games a year with just your quarterback being really good. Otherwise, the Seahawks would have done it every single year. The Seahawks had a flawed roster with Russell Wilson, I think is a really good quarterback. Now, they managed to win at least 9 games every year until the last year that he was in Seattle and hurt. But there's a big difference between winning 9 games a year and winning 13 games 3 years in a row. That's not luck. That's not a good bounce. That's not fortuitous circumstances. And it's not just a quarterback. It's a lot more than that. That's a good team from 1 to 53, and that's why they'll win the division again.
And like putting your money down, right? The Packers at a minus 170 price here at FanDuel. You have Minnesota at a plus 300 price. And sometimes it just makes it so simple. Like, well, who's your quarterback in Minnesota? Kirk Cousins, yes, talented, could put up some numbers. But in the big moments there, do you trust Kirk Cousins? Should you trust a guy like in the Green Bay Packers where LaFleur and Rodgers are seeing eye to eye? Kirk Cousins!
Listen, there are two guys in the NFL, in my opinion, two quarterbacks who are criminally underrated. Kirk Cousins is one and Derek Carr is the other. These are guys who are not the problem on the team that they are on. Kirk Cousins, and someone's got to verify this and correct me, but I think he either tied Peyton Manning or fell one short of the most consecutive starts with a 90 quarterback rating, around 18 or 19, I think was the number that Peyton Manning, and Kirk Cousins was right there. I'm sorry, he's the problem? He's not the problem. Mike Zimmer went into the tank as a head coach, couldn't find a kicker to save his backside, okay, and routinely coached themselves out of winning football games. That had nothing to do with Kirk Cousins at all. Now, I don't know if they got the right coach, and I don't know if they found the right kicker. Their defense still has a bunch of holes. But for some reason, we want to continue to put it on Kirk Cousins, which I guess to a certain extent I understand. I just don't think people are being very objective about what this quarterback is and what he's not. Now, is Kirk Cousins going to be the guy that you look at that is going to go on like an Eli Manning playoff-type run or a Joe Flacco playoff-type run? Probably not. But does that mean that he can't get you to a Super Bowl? Does that mean that he can't do what Jimmy Garoppolo did in not only getting the Niners to a Super Bowl, but also getting them back to the NFC Championship game again? Yeah, I think he absolutely can do that. And we don't look at Jimmy Garoppolo as the way we do with Kirk Cousins. We don't blame Jimmy Garoppolo for losses. Is Garoppolo limited? Sure. Is Kirk Cousins probably a little bit limited in a certain aspect? Maybe. But I'm not, I don't buy into the slander for Kirk Cousins, nor Derek Carr for that matter, who's going to get MVP votes this year with Devontae Adams.
Yeah, 37 quarterbacks rated last year on Pro Football Focus. Kirk Cousins, how about this? Sixth overall, being a team total guy, which I love in the NFL, you need teams with home run threat ability, and that's exactly what the Minnesota Vikings have. Yeah. Wide receivers, Jefferson and Thielen, and obviously Dalvin Cook, a threat anytime he touches the ball.
That's a great win total.
Yeah, I love it. Yep. I mean, I'm usually a big proponent there because the one thing, if Kirk Cousins does throw an interception, it's usually quick and painless. You get the football right back. You do some damage here. It's a great thing about team totals here. Let me take a look here at the NFC South. Tampa Bay Buccaneers locked and loaded once again at a minus 290 price. But here sit the New Orleans Saints at a plus 450. The Carolina Panthers with Baker Mayfield at a plus 950. And then the Atlanta Falcons 25-1 with Marcus Mariota at quarterback. This season is going to hinge on, I'm a little bit higher on the New Orleans Saints than most people are. But also, I want to take a look at number one, the knee of Jameis Winston coming back, which seems like he's progressing well and should be there week one in the NFL. But a guy that might not be there, Alvin Kamara, looking at possibly a 6-game suspension. Oh, say it isn't so. But you are getting some help at wide receiver through the draft. And also Michael Thomas coming back off of the scrap heap being injured, it feels like, for the past 2 years. Is there a chance, Mark, that New Orleans can threaten the NFC South Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Or is it Brady and it's just too much to overcome at this point?
Can I use the same answer I used earlier? How about no? Nobody is going to catch the Buc. Unless Tom Brady gets hurt, nobody's catching the Buccaneers. It's not even worth. Look, Is it impossible for it to happen? No. But I'm not, from a betting standpoint, even going to dive into trying to invest my money and try to figure out ways that one of these teams could be better than Tampa Bay. This is similar right now to Tom Brady back for years in the Patriots in the AFC East. It's like, do you want to try to invest your energy and effort into ways that these lesser teams with lesser quarterbacks and lesser coaches are going to be able to overcome the freight train that is Tom Brady? And in this case, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians slash Todd Bowles. No, I don't. Like, it's just not a place where I want to invest any of my handicapping energy in, because there's nothing for me that's going to add up enough for me to say, okay, they're going to overtake it. I might find one thing here or one thing there. I might be able to find a little bit of an angle and say, if all these ifs come true, then I got a shot at doing this. It's just not worth my time. I'm not betting against Brady and the Buccaneers in this division at all.
They're so talented at every single level. And just to wrap it up, the NFC West here, just to do that complete circle around the NFC, the Los Angeles Rams, a plus 125 favorite to win the West. San Francisco 49ers coming in at a 2-1 price here. The Arizona Cardinals 3-1, and the Seattle Seahawks at 15-1. Now, if we're looking at usually the top three teams, you're saying, okay, that's who's going to battle. I don't see much out of Seattle with their quarterback room of Geno Smith and Drew Lock. The Rams, do we get a hangover effect this year, Mark? And also the San Francisco 49ers in a little bit transition, an ultra-talented football team, but now making the move to Trey Lance. We'll see how that plays out. And also the Arizona Cardinals here. Kyler Murray wants his new deal. We'll see what he ends up getting paid. And also taking a look at the DeAndre Hopkins suspension. Give me some quick thoughts here on the NFC West from your perspective here, Mark.
I would love to bet the Arizona Cardinals. Love to bet the Arizona Cardinals. But cannot back Cliff Kingsbury. I think he's an awful coach. I think he's a terrible, terrible, terrible coach. And part of the reason why he's still hanging around is because, as I mentioned earlier with the Eagles, where Jalen Hurts bails out some bad coaching decisions, Kyler Murray has bailed out a ton of terrible coaching decisions. And a Arizona Cardinals defense that may be the best defense in that division, all deference to Aaron Donald and what he's done. But that said, I think that's the most complete roster, 1-53, and I'm not a Matt Stafford guy. I know the numbers he put up last year. I would think that they're primed for some regression with Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford. They can't do that back-to-back years, can they? I mean, I suppose they could, but I wouldn't bet on it. So I would love to bet the Cardinals. I just have next to no faith in Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to start out the season 7-2, like they did last year. They're going to start out hot. And then what happens when the big boys come to play in November and December? Cliff Kingsbury is going to dump games to bad teams like Seattle, like the Giants or whatever it may be, like the Falcons. He'll lose those games down the stretch because he's not that good of a coach. So it's hard for me to take the Cardinals, but that's where I think that's the best team in that division, and they've got a real legitimate chance to win it.
Yeah, and also taking a look here, we'll know how the Rams, if they have a Super Bowl hangover or not, right off the bat getting the Buffalo Bills at home to open the NFL season, which again, isn't that far away. We're talking about training camps here, about a week and a half, and then off we go into the month of August. So I'm going to ask you right now, quick synopsis on the NFC as a whole. Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win the NFC at a plus 320 price. The Green Bay Packers 5-1, Rams 5-1, Niners plus 750. Your early prediction here, Mark. At a team winning the NFC, who's that going to be?
I mean, the value for the Rams as the defending champs is probably too much to pass up, but it's hard to get to back-to-back Super Bowls, especially since I think they're going to be a little bit of the hunted. I wouldn't count out Brady. I would probably put my money there at this point in time. They have enough moxie, and for all intents and purposes, they should have won that game last year in the playoffs against the Rams. So, shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I would probably lean on the Bucs.
I'm surprised Mark didn't say, you know what? There's a team sitting there at 44-1 to win the NFC, and that's the New York Football Giants. My Philadelphia Eagles here, a little bit better at 14-1. It's time to talk some Major League Baseball on the grid right after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, the early line gets after it here in Major League Baseball. Donnie Wrightside here along with Mark Zimmo. You're listening now on SiriusXM Channel 159 on the grid. Let's have some fun and get after it today. We're going to start with the Tampa Bay Rays heading to the city of Cincinnati. McClanahan on the mound today. And why is that important? We already talked about a little bit earlier, Mark and myself, about the AL Cy Young market, and McClanahan leads it here, and rightfully so. If we're looking at doing damage from a pitching's perspective here, I like to rate these pitchers each and every day just by taking a look at some of their xFIP minus numbers. And if we're looking at the card today, a minimum of 20 innings pitched in 2022, the best guy on the card by far for me is Shane McClanahan. An xFIP minus here, Mark, of a 47. An ERA of 1.74 and a ridiculous xFIP number of 1.96. If we set the table for this game today, a Tampa Bay Rays line of a minus 174 and a total listed at 8. It's Castillo, it's McClanahan, it's a big price. Any thoughts on this game today for you between the Rays and the Reds?
You know, I'm curious at the total, which I'm seeing on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now at 8. And it's juiced to the under, which is interesting because you and I were talking off air. Now, again, McClanahan's starting, so you know there's not going to be a ton of runs scored. But Cincinnati is one of the top five teams this year to the over, as far as over is concerned. Now, some of that might be, and this is a dangerous spot, because Cincinnati tended to give up a lot of runs. But that said, you know, to be juiced to the under, and I'm getting a good price on the over, maybe Tampa Bay does some of their damage on their own. And somehow, if you get McClanahan out of the game early and he only goes six innings and you make him work, and maybe Cincinnati can get into the bullpen a little bit. At 8, it's not a terrible number. I mean, you can push this thing at a 5-3 final or even a 6-2 final, and Tampa Bay can win handily. So it's a way I would look to the over, maybe a little bit of a contrarian play there against McClanahan.
And one of the more interesting points that we look at in betting Major League Baseball, when you're in the NFL, what do you check on? Hey, it's going to be windy conditions, cold conditions, dome, outdoors, rain in the forecast. Well, the reason I bring that up here is if you're betting the Tampa Bay Rays, primarily your handicap is going to be on how good Shane McClanahan is. But if I'm looking today at some of the weather forecasts coming out of Cincinnati, 77% chance of precipitation with thunderstorms. So what does that mean? If the game starts and in the second inning there's a delay, and maybe the fourth inning there's a delay, when your top-end pitchers like Shane McClanahan, maybe they don't return after the third inning if there's a half-hour delay or longer here. So just something to keep an eye on at this point when you're looking, because to me, McClanahan by far the best pitcher here, and we'll see how that pertains today. Why don't we keep it moving here? The Yankees and the Red Sox. How about this one today? So yesterday you saw Gerrit Cole on the mound. Yeah, he picked up a win, but it was 6-5. If we're looking overall at this game between these two starting pitchers, well, it's going to be Nestor Cortez and Seabold on the mound. Now, the one thing starting out hot in Major League Baseball this year was Nestor Cortez. And if we look at his statistics, they're still fine. An 88 xFIP minus, an ERA of 2.44, but that xFIP a little bit higher at a 3.54 rate. Is this a spot where you say, all right, the Yankees just hot at the plate, they should be a better team than the Red Sox, Nestor Cortez the better pitcher than Seabold? Or is there maybe an underdog mentality here of maybe picking off that plus 120 price here, Mark, between the Sox and the Yanks?
No, I kind of like the Sox on the run line here, getting the 1.5. And there's no reason not to, right? I'm sort of selling my Nestor Cortez stock at this point in time. For a guy, we talked earlier in the show about Spencer Strider, who has been lights out when it comes to strikeouts. That was Cortez when he first burst on the scene. But as you mentioned, he sort of cooled off a little bit. And I've watched his last couple of starts as a Yankee fan, and I'm not impressed. Boston is one of the best run line teams in Major League Baseball. In fact, tied for fourth highest at 55.4% covering the run line. And they still have a positive margin of victory. So it's not like they're like a team like the Orioles that is losing games. They're on the right side of winning the plus 1.5. So I kind of, as much again as I'm a Yankee fan here, and you saw that they were able to sort of solve the puzzle of the Yankees bullpen last night and score some runs late, I like Boston, and especially at the price that you're getting on the run line at only minus 120. Those are the key spots you got to look for on the plus run line, where you're not minus 170 or 180 in that range. You get a minus 120 on a plus 1.5. That's the side to go on. I'd back the Red Sox here today.
Yeah, it is an interesting point you bring up on Cortez, because I was talking about over the first half of the season, when you watch Nestor Cortez pitch, you don't get the feeling of, boy, this guy's a dominant starter. A little bit of smoke and mirrors, you know, putting pitches in the right spots, getting umpires that are okay, I'll call that outside pitch, or I'll call that low strike here on a curveball. We'll see if it stacks up today, but you need a win if you're the Boston Red Sox over the Yankees. We'll see if they can pick that up. Let's keep it with the New York team today, Mark. Miami, the Marlins, taking on the New York Mets today in Queens. If we set the table for this one, a minus 166 current favorite here for the New York Mets over the Marlins, and a total that is listed at 7.5, and it is juiced to the under 7.5 currently here at a minus 122 price. So those lines certainly on the move. It's going to be Bassett on the mound today for the New York Mets, lining up against Pablo Lopez. Yesterday, the Marlins didn't score. So obviously, you're not going to win many ball games here, Mark. As we know, if you don't score a single run, could we have a bounce-back effort for the Marlins tonight? But quite frankly, you know, you're not looking at a bad pitcher on the mound for the New York Mets by any stretch in Bassett. And then if you take a look at the starting pitcher here for the Marlins, Pablo Lopez, even though that's a 7.5 and juice to the under, I'm sort of feeling a little bit of an under atmosphere tonight up at Citi Field.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Mets, there is one prop you have to, that I consistently look at, especially when they are at home, and that's the first inning run prop over under a half run. The Mets are the best team in Major League Baseball when it comes to opponents' first inning run scored percentage. They are at just 10% of the time opponents score in the first inning at Citi Field. They flat out just do not let opponents score because their pitching staff is that good. Now, what's interesting about this particular game is that the under is juiced so heavily because of that spot for the Mets. Now, this is a one-sided play here altogether because, as I mentioned, the Mets are the best team in first-inning run scored percentage for opponents, and the Marlins are fourth worst in Major League Baseball in first-inning run scored percentage on the road at just 15.9%. So the Marlins are taking their half of the inning out of this equation. The top of the first is going to be a zero by statistical accounts at this point. So let's flip the script here and look at what the New York Mets do. Number one in Major League Baseball at home this year, scoring in the first inning a whopping 52.5% of the time. Miami gives up a first inning run on the road over 36% of the time. Now, Miami has also not given up a first inning run in three consecutive starts. I combine those two percentages together. The numbers tell me the Mets should be able to score in the first inning. Why? Pablo Lopez is on the mound. He's given up a first inning run in 8 of his last 12 starts, including one time to the Mets. All the numbers should add up here and at a plus price. And even though it's marginal, at plus 102 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, this is a spot where you take over in the first inning and hope the Mets do exactly what they're supposed to do.
There you go. Getting a roundup there from Citi Field. Let's keep it in the NL East here, Mark, and go with Washington and Atlanta. First pitch, 7:20 Eastern tonight. Fetty will be on the mound here for the Washington Nationals. And if we line up Charlie Morton here for the Atlanta Braves, you talk about hangovers here. I'm upset yesterday for the Atlanta Braves. At an all-team total, which included a parlay, needed the Braves to score 3 runs. You got the extra innings. You only scored 2 runners in scoring position. I believe at one point they were 0-9 before they were heading into the later innings. Ridiculous stuff here. So we're anticipating a bounce back because everybody's best friend in the bounce back market is the Washington Nationals. But if you just want to take this game, you're going to pay for it here. If we take a look at the updated current odds here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Atlanta Braves, a -290 price with Morton on the mound and a total that's listed at 9. One would think the Atlanta Braves with Fetty on the mound for the Nationals could do that themselves. I look for a bounce back performance at the plate for the Atlanta Braves. And if you're looking for a parlay piece, this should be a decent one to lean into here with the Braves over the Nationals. Any thoughts on this game, Mark, between these two in the NL East here?
I always get curious when the totals are priced exactly the same, right? And you're looking at minus 110 on both of them.
Yes.
It's almost like odds makers couldn't figure out what to do. And so we'll just give you the standard, you know, minus 110 on both sides. And Charlie Morton has been really good as of late when it comes to his numbers. I know he started out slowly, but he's been really good as of late. And, you know, Eric Fetty, full of his troubles that he's had, and he hasn't been great this year. Over his last 4 starts, hitters are only hitting a .190 against him. And his ERA is 2.8. So he has maybe sort of turned things around a little bit. And he's got 18 strikeouts in 22 innings. I'm not supposing that he's going to be able to shut down this Braves lineup, but I would lean on the under here, given that Morton has pitched so well. the Nationals aren't necessarily a high-scoring team when it comes to, you know, runs scored per game and what they do. They're middle – actually, they're bottom in the league now that I look at it real quick. And they only average – they average less than four runs a game. So I think if you're going to see runs, as you mentioned, it might be Fetty slipping up and the Braves doing it. Are the Braves going to score six or seven runs tonight? It's a possibility. But I would lean on the under here. When I'm evenly juiced, I'd lean on the under and sort of stick with the trend that we've seen in Major League Baseball, that most of these teams are playing to the under here. And just double-checking real quick on where the Nationals are. Yeah, they're at 50.6% to the over this year, and the Braves are at 50.6%. So a coin flip situation here, probably why the total is where it is and it's juiced where it is. But I'll lean on the under.
Some good matchups here in Major League Baseball tonight. Now, you guys don't get to read what we actually put on, or typically I put on here on the rundown. So a Pistons-White Sox matchup tonight probably isn't going to happen. So, Mark, I want to give you an open floor here. I know you like K-props. Are there any K-props tonight that are piquing your interest on this Major League Baseball card?
Yeah, I mean, I got to go with Reed Detmers of the Angels facing off against the Orioles. He's got a low number at 4.5, and it's plus 128 to the over. This is an Orioles team that still strikes out a ton, over 9 times per game, and fourth worst in K rate in Major League Baseball this year. Detmers only having to get 5. Now, he hasn't been above this number at all this year, with the exception of his last two starts where he's hit 6 Ks in each of his last two. Does that trend continue that he can get to 6, or in this case 5, and get you over? But when I'm getting plus 128 as a price on a K-prop on either side, it's going to draw my attention. I'm going to look it deep into it. So I'll back Detmers here, Reed Detmers of the Angels, to go over 4.5. And Zach Wheeler, figuring that the St. Louis Cardinals, who struck out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 19 times last night and have struggled at the plate, Zach Wheeler at over 5.5 against the Cardinals, who, oh, by the way, average 2 more strikeouts per game on the road than they do at home. You're giving me a spot with Zach Wheeler where I can trust the fact that he is going to be good enough here to get over that number. It's a moderate price at minus 116. And I know the Cardinals are home, but still, even if they get some regression back to normal, 8, 9 strikeouts in this game for the Cardinals, yeah, I'll roll with Wheeler, who's been really good when it comes to K-props this year.
Yeah, rematch that did take place on Sunday Night Baseball in Philadelphia with Zach Wheeler and the Philadelphia Phillies with a shutout win over Wainwright and Wheeler. We'll see how that goes along. Also, some other decent pitchers on the mound tonight. Tariq Skubal, Sonny Gray, good old George Kirby's in there. Major League Baseball card tonight. It's exciting. We covered a lot today on the show, and I do want to thank Mark Zeno for waking up early, coming on the grid and saying, "Hey, Donnie, I got you covered today. I'll come on and play some baseball with you." Thanks a lot, Mark, for coming on the show today. We really appreciate it.
You got it, bud.
And that'll do it. There you go. Mark Zeno, Donnie Wrightside in the morning. We're going to close out this with a quick segment. Listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Could it be already the last segment of the day here on the early line? Time flies when you're having fun. Like to certainly welcome in Mark Zeno, host co-hosting the show with me today. Had a lot of fun doing that, but there's a lot more on the grid today to set up your weekend. And that's going to be with the morning after and Ben Stevens coming up next. Now, there's a lot of topics, right? Even the NHL had a draft last night. Kids are making their dreams come true. And no surprise, that's also in the NBA Summer League. School's out for most, but not for the NBA. Listen up. Got the party started today on the network, right? Feels like a football Friday. Pretty soon we're going to be engulfed in NFL talk. But the Summer League, one of those things that was always a little oddity a few years back, but now certainly in the limelight, will star players on the court and also star players showing up in Las Vegas to watch from the stands. If we take a look at yesterday, Paolo Banchero, 17 points. And the joke to me here is, you saw Chet Holmgren over his first two games, like, whoa, my goodness, maybe he should have been the top overall pick. So if you were an Orlando fan, or excuse me, an Orlando Magic fan, you watched this overall to yourself saying, oh no, did we make the wrong decision in getting Paolo Banchero? We should have got Chet Holmgren. You could put those little fears to ease. And I understand. It's one game. It's two games. It's three games in the summer league, right? You can't say this guy can't play. This guy can play. This guy's going to be rookie of the year. But that's what we do in the summer. And that's what the fascinating part about it is. I remember just a few years back going, whoa, Philadelphia 76ers Markel Fultz got smoothies out there on the court. Yeah, we saw how smooth he was for the Philadelphia 76ers as one of the worst number one overall picks you can imagine turned out and set back the trust the process move here in Philadelphia. But these young guys, the sky's the limit as they get after it. Enjoy themselves out there in Las Vegas. Play good basketball. And yes, Banchero's going to be a good basketball player. So is Chet Holmgren. So is Jabari Smith. These guys will work out. Sit back, relax, and maybe you can even win a few bucks here in the summer league at the FanDuel Sportsbook by putting some wagers down. Have some fun. NBA school's out. But is it really? We're right around the corner from the NBA starting up again. My goodness. Hold on to your seats here. But guys, stay tuned. Ben Stevens coming right up here on the morning after right here on the grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.